Well, Jesus was truly a man of prayer. Although he was a perfect man, he regularly drew strength from praying to his heavenly Father. So how can we imitate Jesus in our prayers? Well, listen closely as Brother Terry Attuck from the Peace River Congregation conveys the answers in the talk, Follow Jesus' Pattern, Keep on Asking, Seeking, and Knocking.
Lord, teach us how to pray. That request was put to Jesus by one of his disciples. As part of his response, Jesus gave two illustrations that will be of interest to us as we too are interested in how to pray. If you've ever wondered whether God hears your prayers, you'll be interested in Jesus' reply. From his baptism in the Jordan River to his death on the stake, Jesus was a man of prayer. Let's look at two examples of this in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. For our first example, Luke 3 and verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus too was baptized. As he was praying, the heaven was opened up. As he was doing what? Praying at his baptism. Now let's move to Luke 23 and verse 46. Luke 23 and verse 46. And Jesus called out with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. After he said this, he expired. At his baptism, at his death on the torture stake, Jesus prayed. He often went to desolate areas to pray. Jesus began his pattern of praying long before there was a record of them in the scriptures. Are you following closely this aspect of the pattern Jesus left for us? Please turn to Luke chapter 11. But before we read this account, let us watch the video monitors and consider the attitude that Jesus taught his disciples to maintain regarding prayer.
Three loaves, because one of my friends had just come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to offer.
Stop bothering me.
No. Wait, don't go. I beg you.
The door's already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up. It's too late to give you anything.
No, don't go. No. Help me, please. There's no one else. Please.
Okay. Okay. I'm coming down.
Now let's open our Bibles to this account in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. That's Luke 11, beginning in verse 9. So I say to you, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone asking receives, and everyone seeking finds, and to everyone knocking it will be opened. Many Bible translations render verse 9 in the singular, ask, seek, and knock, rather than asking, seeking, and knocking. The original Greek from which the words are translated implies continuous action. As we saw in the video, Jesus' illustration makes clear the need to keep persistently beseeching Jehovah in prayer. How does Jehovah respond when we follow the pattern that Jesus set? Is Jehovah reluctant to answer us the way that man who was asleep was? No. Note this contrast illustration in verses 11 to 13. That's Luke 11, beginning in verse 11. Indeed, which father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he also asks for an egg, will hand him a scorpion? Therefore, if you, although being wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will the Father in heaven give Holy Spirit to those asking him? Jesus works from the less to the greater. First, he talks about the man. Wicked, not wicked, imperfect. That's what he's implying by using the word wicked. An imperfect man is not going to say no to his children when he asks them for food. We move now from the lesser to the greater. Jehovah God, who's perfect and caring as a father, we can be sure will give us Holy Spirit if we ask for it. When we turn to him in prayer again and again, Jehovah will never say to us, as it were, quit making me trouble. The door is already locked. Was Jesus persistent in prayer? Yes, he prayed on one occasion three times for the same thing. Let's look at Matthew's account of this in Matthew 26. And we're going to read verses 39, 42, and 44. That's Matthew 26. Starting in verse 39. And going a little way forward, he fell face down, praying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. 42. Again, a second time, he went off and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this to pass away unless I drink it, let your will take place. Verse 44. So leaving them, he again went off and prayed for a third time, saying once more the same thing. Did this contradict Jesus' words at Matthew 6 and verse 7, where he said, Do not say the same thing over and over again? No, it did not. For there he meant we should avoid mechanical repetition in our prayers. When Jesus prayed, he did not repeat things by rote. He kept on asking, seeking, and knocking. During his life on earth, Jesus offered up supplications and also petitions. What is the difference? Well, let's consider first of all petitions. In the model prayer, Jesus addressed petitions. When you pray, you often pray for the same things, petitioning Jehovah for your daily needs, for example. What else might we petition for? Suppose we're facing a major decision regarding employment, marriage, or simplifying our life so we can perhaps move to where the need is greater. We can ask for wisdom and thinking ability. Luke 11, verse 13 says that God gives Holy Spirit to those asking Him. Supplications are intense entreaties. Consider Jesus' prayer before His arrest in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 to 44. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, and he bent his knees and began to pray, saying, Father, if you want to, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, let not my will, but yours take place. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. But he was in such agony that he kept praying more earnestly, and his sweat became as drops of blood falling to the ground. The intensity of this plea made it a supplication. God gave him the strength, the comfort, and the support that he needed at that time. He even provided an angel to strengthen Jesus. He was in such agony over this situation. Such agony, what did he do? Look at verse 44 again. He kept praying more earnestly. Ask yourself, am I following Jesus' pattern? It was set. A pattern that we're talking about was set by Jesus. When I'm desperate, how earnest and frequent are my prayers? Supplications are needed if we're going to endure trials, opposition, health problems, and difficulties in the family. We'd now like to interview Brother Paul Martin from the Fairview congregation. Brother Martin, a few years ago, you endured a tragic situation. Could you tell us about it?
Yes, Brother Attuck. My wife of 34 years decided to leave me in the truth. She wrote a letter to the elders stating that she was no longer one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Subsequently, we were divorced. At the time, I was devastated. After all, she was the wife of my youth, and now the marriage was no more, so I had much difficulty in dealing with the situation.
That's not surprising. After an initial struggle, Brother Martin, what helped you to come to your senses, so to speak?
Well, time was one factor, and then prayer. Although I'll admit I didn't pray for the right things at first. I asked Jehovah to take the pain away from me, and when that didn't occur, I asked Him to take my whole life away, similar to what Elijah prayed for at 1 Kings 19, verse 4. Thankfully, Jehovah didn't answer my prayer either. So I moved congregations, but then I had a visit from a loving brother who took time out of his busy schedule to help me back onto the road to recovery.
Well, that's good to hear. Why did you supplicate Jehovah about your changed circumstances?
Brother Attuck, I was in dire spiritual need. I was going to lose my life spiritually. So I supplicated Jehovah intensely and asked Him for help to cope with the situations that I was facing. King David put it so well in Psalms, the same way, especially in Psalm 55.
Can you tell us a little more about how Psalm 55 helped you?
I was really encouraged to throw my burden upon Jehovah. And we look at King David, and he implored Jehovah to help him cope with the situations that he was facing, not to get rid of them, but to cope with them. And also, his desire was to remain as a servant to the Most High. So I thought, well, if David could maintain his spiritual balance during that troublesome time, then perhaps I could too. So as Psalm 55:22 brings out, I truly threw my burden on Jehovah, and you know, Brother Addict, Jehovah did sustain me.
What's your situation now, Brother Martin?
Now I met a wonderful spiritual sister. We've been happily married for a little over 5 years. Jehovah has granted me the privilege of serving as an elder once again in the congregation.
Very good to hear. What has this experience taught you about prayer, Brother Martin?
Well, next time an adverse situation comes my way, I will not hesitate to supplicate Jehovah, and I will be confident that he will surround me with his love and sustain me through whatever trial I face.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us. If we were to pray only when we need something from Jehovah, what would that say about our motives? We know there is much to thank Jehovah for and to praise him for. Thanksgiving involves expressing appreciation for all that Jehovah gives us and does for us. We teach our children to thank him for the sunshine that warms us, for the rain that makes things grow, for his artistry and the beauty of the plants and the flowers that we enjoy on this earth. As adults, imitate Jesus. Jesus thanked Jehovah for food. At the Lord's evening meal, he thanked them for the provisions that they had on that occasion. Are we careful not to be too busy at breakfast, at lunch, or at our evening meal to pause to thank Jehovah, be it at work or at school? When you family heads include thanksgiving in your prayers as at mealtime, you're teaching your family to be thankful. And this is so important in a world where we need protection against the spirit of unthankfulness. Now, what if we were to supplicate Jehovah and later we find out he has answered our prayer? We recognize an answer to our prayer. Follow Jesus' pattern. John 11. Verse 41. Let's look at his example here. John 11 and verse 41. So they took the stone away. Then Jesus raised his eyes heavenward and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Jesus knew Jehovah would resurrect Lazarus. But still, he asked Jehovah to do so, to give him the power to do so. He had no doubt Jehovah would give him that power. Still, he paused to thank Jehovah for doing so. A young sister in the Philippines wanted to pioneer, but she didn't have the kind of work she needed to do so. She says, one Saturday, I prayed to Jehovah specifically about pioneering. Later that same day, while out in the preaching work, I placed a book with a teenager. Out of the blue, the girl said, you should come to my school and apply for a job. I asked why. She explained there was a job vacancy that needed to be filled as soon as possible. Monday morning, I went and I was hired right away. It all happened so quickly. She prayed about pioneering. She got an answer. No doubt you've prayed about something important in your theocratic life, and you saw an answer. So do not hesitate to bring your heartfelt petitions to Jehovah in prayer. Praise is a prayer to extol Jehovah's greatness. Jesus rendered praise to Jehovah for a variety of reasons. One is mentioned in Matthew 11:25, where he said, I praise you publicly, Father. You've hidden these things from the wise and intellectual ones and revealed them to young children. Well, Jesus was thanking Jehovah and praising him that many humble people were responding. We can do the same, offering praise to Jehovah for his creatorship, his acts of goodness in providing spiritual food, even his humility in granting us privileges. Why did Jesus urge us to keep on seeking, asking, and knocking? Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8. For everyone asking receives, and everyone seeking finds, and to everyone knocking it will be opened. If we keep on knocking, it will be opened, Jesus said. Praying persistently is like knocking continually at a door, just like that man in the video. Then we wait for Jehovah to open up kingdom blessings or to provide the solution to the problem we may have presented to him in prayer. Jesus lingered in prayer. Look at this example in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. On one of those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when it became day, he called his disciples to him and chose from among them 12, whom he also named apostles. The Watchtower made an interesting comment about this. It is springtime, likely near the fishing town of Capernaum, Jesus' home base in the region. As evening falls, Jesus goes up to one of the mountains that overlook the Sea of Galilee. As he views the darkening landscape, he perhaps sees the flickering of oil lamps down in Capernaum and other nearby villages. When Jesus addresses Jehovah, though, he focuses intently on his prayer. Minutes, then hours pass. He takes little note as the lights far below go out one by one, or as the moon drifts across the sky, or as the nocturnal animals forage in the brush. His prayer likely dwells on the big decision that lies before him, that of choosing his 12 apostles. We can imagine Jesus immersed in telling his Father all his thoughts and concerns about each one of them as he earnestly begs for guidance and wisdom. If we make ample time for in-depth prayer, we will be more alert spiritually. Our public prayers should be brief and pertinent. What's an example of pertinent? Well, if you pray to open a meeting, a congregation meeting, for example, you might pray about the brotherhood, the fellowship we enjoy, about what we're going to hear on the meeting, about the young families that are present, about the sick ones who are not present. At the end of the meeting, something pertinent might be something we've heard at the meeting that we can also thank Jehovah for. An exception to a brief prayer might be the closing prayer of a special event, such as the concluding prayer on Sunday of this convention. There's no special virtue in long prayers. In fact, Jesus criticized the scribes who made a pretext of long prayers. Jesus' prayers were balanced. They weren't solely about his material needs, but they focused principally on Jehovah's purpose. Jesus left us a model in all aspects of our life. Let's follow his pattern continually, asking, seeking, and knocking in regular, heartfelt prayer. Jehovah wants to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Brother Attic. We do want to follow Jesus' pattern of prayer in all aspects of our lives.